That's next Sunday after the service. Also, next Sunday is our newcomers lunch. If you've been coming to the church for a little while and you just have questions, now is the time to come, and we'll kind of tell you a little bit about the staff, and we'll tell you about what we believe as a church, our doctrine, how things are set up. And so if you have questions that you'd like to ask, you know, have those ready, and we'll just have a time of fellowship. We're providing lunch. So you don't need to do anything. Just sign up in the back so we know how much food to have, and come and fellowship and learn a little bit about the ministry. Also, we're getting ready for our ladies' craft night on May 21st. That is 6 p.m. over at Cafe 316. They always come up with some creative and fun ideas to do, so come and be a part of that. And then we have two Bible studies that are starting up. There's a women's Bible study for the summer. It begins on Tuesday. It's going to be on in the morning at 9:45, and they're going to meet over at Cafe 316. It's from June the 2nd until July 14th. It's a Christy McClelland study, which she is incredible if you've ever done any of her studies before. But it's going to be on Jesus and women. So it'll be a lot of kind of ancient, you know, days, what they did in biblical times, and how Jesus dealt with women. And so that'll be really interesting. Come and be a part of that. And then the men are going to do a new study on Wednesday night. From May 20th is when it begins, and it's Christian History Made Easy. And that's on Wednesday night at 6:30. And that also will be over at Cafe 316. So that should be really interesting. So hope that you'll sign up and be a part of those studies.
Thank you. It's Mother's Day, so there's something I need to say. Happy birthday, Jason. It's Jason Tenza's birthday, and Jason's a pilot for Delta, and he's in the air more than he's on the ground these days. So I'm glad you got to be here for your birthday. So happy Mother's Day birthday slash. I hope your girls are going to do something. Girls, it's on y'all. You got a Mother's Day and a birthday to pull off today. So we are studying. We just started the study last week on knowing God. And last week we talked about how God is holy, holy, holy. There's none like him. And this morning we're going to follow up with the second thing. If you would open your Bible to James chapter 1, verse 17. And we are going to look at the subject that of God who does not change. I found that the more I know about God, the more I love God. And then the more I love God, the more I want to know about God. Which makes me want to know more about him, which makes me want to love him more, which makes me want to know more about him. And it's just this endless fascination with him. I've been a Christian now for 60 years. I've known Christ for 60 years. And I am more fascinated with the Bible and fascinated with who God is than I've ever been. And so I'm hoping this study this week. Summer, and if you missed last Sunday, please go back and you can catch them all online on our website or YouTube, and you can catch those. James chapter 1, verse 17. I'm going to put the verse up here for you, just the verse we're going to use as a launching pad today. No shadow of turning. It's the immutability of God. The theological term is the immutability of God. Immutability just means he does not change. And I want to give you James chapter 1, verse 17. First of all, you're going to get it if you have the Christian Standard Bible. This is what it says. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The ESV gives it a little bit differently. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. My boss, a few years ago, used to say this all the time. And it's true, and I'm glad he kept saying this to me. He didn't say it to me once. He probably said this to me a dozen times. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. Right? Things are going to change. Change is not a bad thing or a good thing. Change is not bad. Change is not good. Change just is. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's tough. But change is one of the constants in our world that does not change. It's change. Things change. Seasons change, and that's a good thing. Don't you love the seasons? I asked Jonathan this week. He was putting together the worship songs, and I said, hey, can we do Great is Thy Faithfulness? Because I love the summer and winter and springtime and harvest verse. I love when seasons change. Like, I would hate to live someplace where it's always like 72 degrees or always 23 degrees. Or don't you like it when the seasons change? Sometimes it's like, oh, that's nice. Well, there's some cool breezes. Oh, I got to get my sweater out. We got to get some firewood. Okay, now we got to turn on the air conditioning. And it's just those seasons that change. That's a good thing. Cultures evolve. That can be both good and bad. Sometimes cultures evolve is a good thing. We learn more about ourselves and about our fellow human beings and how we can be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world in the culture we live in, both good and bad. Relationships drift sometimes due to time and distance. And sometimes, you know this is true, sometimes it takes a wedding or a funeral for all of us to get back together, and then we say, why don't we do this more often? Not the funeral, but why don't we get together more often? Like, why don't we get together? Why does it take a wedding or a funeral to get us together? Because we're all so super busy. We have jobs. We have kids in school. We have stuff to do. And we find ourselves moving away from relationships. I played golf. I asked my son, his birthday was recently, and I said, what do you want for your birthday? And he didn't want a thing. He wanted an experience. He said, I want to go play golf with you. I said, okay. Now, I hadn't played in 5 years. And in the last 5 years, I've torn both my Achilles, so I have no idea where the ball's going, but it'll be fun. And just that moment. But we were over in the woods looking for our balls is what we were doing. And I said, you know, I remember when we were moving away from Hinesville, Georgia to Illinois. And my best friend at the time was down there, and we played golf together all the time. And we knew that I was going to be 900 miles away from him and him from me, and we probably would never play golf again. Like, we're not going to get together and play golf. We're not going to meet halfway in Louisville, Kentucky or something. So we said, let's get up let's be there when the sun comes up and see how many holes we can play in one day. Okay, 42 holes of golf. And the reason we stopped, we played 42 holes of golf in one day because the sun was going down and we just couldn't see anymore. But we both kind of knew this may be it for our golfing unless something special happens. So sometimes things change in relationship to our friends, our family. You get transferred. You get this opportunity to go here. You move there. You move to be closer to grandkids or closer to kids. Things change. Even emotions can rise and fall like the tide. I have a granddaughter that's 12. Emotions rise and fall like the tide. Quickly. Like in a few seconds. There's euphoria followed by weeping and wailing and gnashing teeth and then euphoria. Emotions change for all of us. What feels very certain one day can feel very certain the next. Our health. The economy, gas prices. I filled up Tracy's car yesterday, and it was, with my Kroger discount, it was $4.13 a gallon. And I'm pumping that gas yesterday thinking, it's Tracy's car. I'm pumping gas in her car. And I'm thinking, when we were dating, gas was 49 cents a gallon. You know what I'm saying? Things change. It's not 49 cents a gallon anymore. Interest rates, world markets. Now, it could be that it's always been this way, but the availability of the immediate information we have with smartphones and smart devices, we can get information immediately. Maybe it's always been this way, but it leaves us in a constant state of flux, the relentless pace of change can sometimes leave you exhausted. Now, the Apostle James here, in James chapter 1, verse 17, gives us an anchor, a fixed point. Now, let me kind of touch base on a fixed point. I'm going to give you an illustration about a fixed point, and you'll get it. When we go to the beach, when I'm going in the water, I always turn around and look at the condo. Wherever I am, that That's my fixed point. There's my condo. There's the flag on top. There's the towels hanging on our rail. There's the pool. There's our tent. There's our stuff. That's my fixed point. Because you know what happens? You're out there playing, and you're hanging out, and you're doing stuff. And you look up, and somebody has stolen your condo. It's like, no, wait a minute. That is not. You got to have a fixed point. Now, in this world of constant insanity of change, there's got to be something that does not change. Something. And that something is a someone. And it's God. He doesn't change. He is steady. He is the fixed point in an ever-changing world to give us every good and every perfect gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I never really noticed that part of verse 17, actually, until the last 2 weeks. Shadow. I've rattled off that verse so many times. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, neither shadow of turning. But it never occurred to me the shadow part. I tried to take a picture the other day of a document. And we've all done this. I took my phone and I'm like, all right, I don't want to write all this stuff down. I'm going to take a picture of it. So I get it there and I go, oh man, shadow. Well, let's see. Well, there's the shadow the other way. There, oh man. Have you ever done that, or am I just crazy? Has anybody else ever done that besides me? Okay, yeah, I want to take a picture, but there's a shadow. There's this shadow. Imagine the light of God, that when the light is emulating out of him, there is no shadow anywhere. He will be the light of heaven. The light in heaven will emulate from this God, this fixed point, this one who never changes. And James uses this metaphor. Shifting shadows, variation of shadow. In theology, and I mentioned it to you in the title slide, but it is called immutability. In theology, it's called immutability. It means God does not change, and he is unchanging in three different aspects. Number one, he's unchanging in his nature. Number two, he's unchanging in his purposes. Number three, he's unchanging in his promises. This is really important. Because on the bottom part of this definition is, we're going to look at conditional versus unconditional promises of God. Because some of the things in the Bible are unconditional. God said, this is the way it is, and that's it. And some of the things in the Bible are if then. If you do this, I'll do this. If you don't do this, I won't do that. So he is unchanging in his nature, in his purposes, and in his promises. His nature is who he is. His purposes is what he does, and his promises are what he says. Let me talk about these three. Who he is. God is who he has always been. While we may be prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. One of my favorite hymns is, come thou fount of every blessing. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. While we may be prone to wander on occasion, he never does. He isn't becoming better. He's already perfect in his nature. Number two, his purposes, what he does. God does not, I love this. You're going to embrace this. I hope you remember this part. God does not react to history. God does not react to news. God does not react to politics. God does not wring his hands every November election. He doesn't. He doesn't react to history. He directs it. Nothing surprises him or forces him to revise his plans. Nothing ever happens to where God's got to go back into his office and shut the door and get a legal pad out and go, all right, I didn't see this coming. This is not good. And his promise is what he says. If God said it, he will do it. His word has no expiration date. Sometimes God's promises are unconditional. Let me put this up here for you. They're fixed decrees of God that will happen regardless of what we do or don't do. And sometimes they are conditional. That's sort of an if you do this, then I will do this. Let me give you some examples of both. And this is not exhausted at all. But here's some unconditional promises of God. Some unconditional things that God did. In Genesis chapter 6, he sent a flood. He did not say, I'm going to send a flood unless I get 45% repentance. Then I won't. He said, I'm sending the flood. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, he said to the serpent, this Messiah that's coming, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. That happened on the cross. That Messiah was Jesus Christ. And Jesus died on the cross. God foretold it before the foundation of the world. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit planned salvation before the foundation of the world. It wasn't a knee-jerk reaction of God to when Adam and Eve sinned. It was planned before Adam and Eve ever thought about disobeying God. It was an unconditional promise that I am going to send the Messiah, my son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I'm going to send my son to save the world. That is an unconditional promise. Nothing's going to stop it. Nothing's going to derail it. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming. It's not a maybe. If y'all do this, then I won't come. If y'all behave, I'll come sooner. If you misbehave, I'll come sooner. I mean, there's no conditional promise here. He is coming back. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain should be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is an unconditional promise. There are conditional promises. Let me give you some of these. Jonah. I love the story of Jonah. I reread Jonah this week. You should read the book of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God. God wanted him to go to Nineveh and preach a little tiny sermon, which I don't know if there is such a thing as a tiny sermon. I don't know if they exist. But I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them, in 40 days I'm going to destroy the city if y'all don't repent. Well, Jonah didn't want him to repent. He didn't like those people. That's a terrible thing for a preacher. Okay, God says, I want you to go preach the good news to those people. And he goes, I don't like them. So he runs. He goes in the opposite direction, ends up on a boat, ends up in the belly of a great fish. And then there's something that really happens when you end up in the belly of a great fish. You begin to rethink things from God's point of view. So he goes, yeah, okay, I'm okay, I'll do it. So the fish spits him out. He goes to Nineveh. He walks in the city, and he says reluctantly, 40 days, Nineveh's going to be destroyed if y'all don't repent. The Bible says this. Read the book of Jonah. 120,000 people. Everybody in the city repented. And Jonah was so mad because he wanted God to get him. He didn't like these people. But God loved them and wanted them to repent. And he said, 40 days I'm going to destroy the city, but if you repent, I won't. And they repented. How about 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You got to draw near to God and then he will draw near to you. It's a conditional promise. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the classic. If you've been in church at all, you know this one. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. They're conditional promises. And you need to understand the difference between conditional and unconditional promises when you're talking about the immutability of God. God does not change in his purpose. God does not change in his nature. God does not change in his promises. Sometimes his promises are unconditional, and sometimes his promises are conditional, and you need to know the difference when you study your Bible. Now, let me give you a couple of things about the immutability of God. Change of circumstances and change of design. Now, think about this. Number one, the first one, change of circumstances. If something changes, now think this through. This is logical. Just think through the logic of this. If something changes, it has to change for the better or the worse. Or it's not changed. That makes sense? If something doesn't change for the better or change for the worse, it's not change. It doesn't change. If not, there's no need to change. Since God is already perfect, he cannot improve. Since he is omnipotent, he cannot decline. Therefore, God remains exactly as he is. And the second thing, a change of design. When humans change our mind, it's because we have something new or circumstances have forced their hand. Either some idea has changed, so I need to change with that, or something has changed for the better or the worse. Now, since God is perfect and he cannot change, he is omnipotent, he cannot decline, he is perfect, he cannot improve. God is omniscient, he already knows everything. He is sovereign, he already controls every circumstance. So he is immutable. He does not change. So here's the question. Okay, John, appreciate the little Bible study, but so what? Like, I like to ask myself when I study the Bible, there's the what, and then there's the so what. The what is the information. The so what is, what am I supposed to do with this? So let me give you four things real quickly, and we're going to let you guys get about your day with your families. What does this mean to me, this thing called immutability? Now, I already know from last week that God is holy, holy, holy. There's no one like him. That he is one of a kind. He's unique. But what does it mean in my life in 2026? That in the midst of all this change everywhere, change, that he doesn't. Four things. I want to give you four things real quickly. Number one, there's the guarantee of God's never-ending mercy. I know that God does not change in his mercy. It is never-ending. Malachi 3:6 says this, "For I, the Lord, do not change." He says this. God said this. I don't change. "Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." He was talking to the nation of Israel, the children of Jacob. Now, read this backwards. You know why you're... Now, read it this way. God says, do you know why you're not consumed? Because I don't change. I don't change. Our faithfulness fluctuates, but God's grace is not a mood. All God's people said, aren't you glad God doesn't get in a bad mood? I mean, I get in a bad mood once in a while, but I'm not omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. I can't do a whole lot of damage. I can just sit in the corner of a room and pout for a few minutes, and I'm over it. Can you imagine being the God of the universe, and you get in a bad mood? Somebody's going to pay. But he doesn't get in a bad mood. He doesn't change. If he did, we would be consumed. If God changed his mood just one degree, this world would not turn properly on its axis and we would all die. He keeps the universe going. He never misses a lick. He never skips a beat. His mercy does not change. If God could change his mind about you and I would have no security. But because he does not change, his mercy endures forever. Second thing, there's the unbreakable faithfulness of his promises. Numbers 23, verse 19, let me give you this verse out of God's word. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? God does not lie. God does not change his mind. If he did, get this. I've said this before earlier a few minutes ago. If God changed his mind, then every promise of God in the Bible would come with an expiration date. It doesn't. Because he is unchanging, his promises of provision, presence, and peace are just as true today as they were when he first said it. God doesn't change. We change. It's not a bad thing, but we change. Things grow. Things fall out. Things turn gray. Things change. God's not sitting on a throne somewhere in heaven, exhausted and gray-headed and napping in the afternoon. He hasn't changed a lick. And his promises have not changed either. And in the midst of promises that are broken, he keeps all his promises. He doesn't change. This is important, the third one. There's the integrity of his truth. The unwavering ethical integrity of his truth. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Our world is defined today by shifting truth. Your truth, my truth, no truth. Well, that's your truth. You know, if you believe that, John, good for you. I don't believe that. I got my own truth. And we're all going to get to the same place at the same time anyway, aren't we? No. No. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is a fixed moral compass of truth. He defines right. He defines wrong. He defines justice. These things do not evolve with the culture. He is the solid ground beneath our feet. Let me give you one more thing. The accessibility of Jesus in Hebrews 13:8, where the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The same Gospels, the same Jesus in the Gospels is the same Jesus we follow today. His love is not cooled. His power has not diminished. I love God because he's holy. And I love God because he's immutable. He didn't change. In a world defined by change, God is our unchanging hope. When everything else shifts, he remains. This is not just a theological theory. This is a principle that will stabilize your soul. Where is your compass? Where is your fixed point? I hope it's in God. Because he is the only thing, the only one in all of the universe that never, ever, ever will change. He's a foundation that never runs down. He's a fountain that never runs dry. He's a friend that never runs away. And he's a father that never runs out. He never changes. Put your faith and trust in someone who does not change, who will not change on you, who has not put on you an expiration date. He will be the same a million years from now than he is today. And that is the God that you and I love, the God of the Bible. God we serve. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are immutable. You don't change. When things change, you don't. Father, help me to lean in hard on the immutability of you. We praise you that your nature, who you are, doesn't change. Your purposes, what you do, doesn't change. They're not altered by circumstances of life. Your promises, what you say, you stand behind your promises. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the immutability of you. And Lord, on this very special day, we want to thank you for the moms, the grandmas, the great-grandmas. I don't remember who said it, Father, but I think it's true that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Moms are so important. I'm grateful that my mother is with you. And I'm grateful that Tracy's mother is with us. We praise you and we thank you for this special day. And we thank you for this special truth from your word that you don't change. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Derek? No. You moved sides. You know, you changed.
Our benediction today is Philippians 4:7, which says, "May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. Thanks, everyone. Great time today, great sermon, and be praying for protection for all of our families as we go home today until we meet next Sunday. All right, we are dismissed. Thanks, everybody.